Preach the word, preach the cross, preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name.
Well, praise the Lord. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of James. James chapter number 1, and as we continue our study through this wonderful book, and if you can and are able, please stand as we read the Word of God together. James chapter number 1, and we've learned that when it comes to the Word of God, that we are first to listen, as verse 19 talks about, then we are to receive it with meekness, as verse 21 talks about, but that's not where it stops. It must go on farther, and that is the Word of God must be carried out. We must be doers of the Word, and that's where our text is and this morning, chapter 1 of James and verse 22. But we're going to go back and begin reading again in verse 19, because I think this is where the main section begins, or verse 18 rather. It says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I want to speak to you on the thought that listening should lead to living. Listening should lead to living. You can be seated, and may the Lord bless the preaching of His holy word. The story is told of a man in New York City who died at the age of 63 without ever working a single job. The man spent the entirety of his adult life in college. He acquired multiple degrees, but never put any of them into practice. But rather than for a thirst of knowledge, it turns out that the man's lifetime in the classroom was the result of a trust fund that had been left to him by a very wealthy relative who passed away when this man was just a child. The trust fund stipulated that the man was to be given enough money to support him so long as he was in school. The man turned that fund into a lifetime of income by simply staying in school. Unfortunately, there are far too many Christians who spend their whole lives listening to the teaching of the Word of God, but spend very little time living it out. They hear all the thou shalts, but they never heed them. They can recite the fruit of the Spirit, but they never reproduce them in their lives. And James speaks out against this disconnect between listening and hearing and our living. And he says there, verse 22, but be you doers of the word and not hearers only. And James reminds us in this text of what Jesus himself taught. that Jesus' sheep, His sheep, are not hearers only, but they are doers. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and they," what? "Follow Me." So Jesus' sheep, listen, we hear and we listen to the voice of our shepherd, but we do more than that. We are followers of Him. We are active doers of His Word. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus asked this question, "And why call you Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Now listen, there's nothing wrong with having a knowledge of the Word of God. But at the heart of being a follower of Christ is not just hearing, but doing what His Word commands. So look with me at this passage from James 1 and consider some things as it teaches us the necessary connection between our listening and our living. And you see, James is talking about Scripture. He's been talking about Scripture since verse 18. And we know that James is a great man of the Bible. He was a man who was steeped in Holy Scripture, and this was his great concern. His great concern was, what are we doing about what we are hearing? So as we seek to open up this passage this morning, I want you to notice, first of all, an exhortation. What is it that he urges us to do? Well, he urges us to be a doer of the Word. Again, in verse 22, he says, "But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only." Now, there are several things I want you to notice about this exhortation. Notice, for example, how powerful it is. How powerful it is. Be ye doers of the Word. The tense of those words suggests a continuous action. A continuing action. That is, James is saying, keep on showing yourselves to be doers of the Word. I like what John MacArthur said in his commentary. He said, "When people are blessed with regular, in-depth preaching and teaching of Scripture, they may become so enamored with their knowledge of God's Word that they become self-satisfied with that knowledge and forsake the effort to live out the profound truths that they have come to understand." He goes on to say, "But a true believer will not be inwardly satisfied with merely knowing the Word. His conscience and the prompting of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit will keep convicting him of his failure until he becomes obedient." You see, my dear friend, the believer who responds to the demands of the Word only now and then. The Christian who only responds or who only acts just by impulse or by certain intervals is not a real doer of the Word. Those who consistently disobey God's Word give evidence that they have not truly been born again. But those who constantly obey the Word give the evidence of the life of God in their very souls. So James is saying, make sure that you are continually a doer of the Word. So we see how powerful that is. But then notice also how practical that is. How practical it is. James, as you notice here, he likes to use that word doer. He used it very often. He used it in verse 22, verse 23. He used it in verse 25, and then also used it in chapter 4 and verse number 11. But what does it mean to be a doer of the Word? Well, it means to submit to its authority and comply with its demands. That's what it means. It is to be obedient to whatever the Word says. Now, why does he say, "Be ye doers"? Well, because the word doer carries with it a characterization of a whole personality. For example, it's one thing to fight in a war, but it's something else to be a soldier. Right? It's one thing to build a house, but it's another thing to be a builder. It's one thing to teach somebody, but it's another thing to be a teacher. And so that's a whole life characterization. And are we, listen, we are to be characteristically doers of the Word. That is to be our lifestyle. That is to be our life habit of being a doer of God's holy Word. Now understand that James does not condemn a person for reading his Bible. James does not condemn a person for being a hearer of the Word. He condemns them for being a hearer of the Word only. It's not enough to hear the Word. We must do it. And sadly, many Christians have mistaken the idea that hearing a good message or hearing a good Bible study is what makes them grow and get God's blessing. But my dear friend, it is the doing that brings the blessings to your life. Not just the hearing, not just the listening, but it is implementing those things in which you've heard into your life. And far too many believers mark their Bibles, but their Bibles never mark them. And James is saying that that which is heard in the holy place, that which is heard in the sanctuary, ought to be lived out in the marketplace. Now again, knowledge of the Bible, my dear friends, is good. But that does not discharge, that does not do away with our responsibility to the Word. It's not enough to hear the Word. It's not enough to receive the Word. It's not enough to retain the Word. It's not enough to memorize the Word. We must live out the Word of God. Listen, did you know that it is possible to be a brilliant theologian, but be a poor Christian? It is possible to have all kinds of knowledge of Scripture, but still be a poor Christian. Do you recall the words of Jesus when He said in Matthew 7:24, "Whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." Whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Hey, listen, could that be said of you this morning? When you hear the Word of God, do you receive it meekly? And then when you hear it and receive it meekly, do you obey it wholeheartedly? Do you live it out joyfully? Whether at home, at work, at school, at church, could it be said of us that we are doers of the Word? So that's the exhortation that He gives us. How powerful it is, how practical it is, but then notice also how penetrating it is. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, he says in verse 22. The word hearers was a word that was used to describe someone who would sit in an audience and just passively listen to the preacher or the teacher as they are teaching and preaching the Word of God. This word in our day could be used to describe someone who audits a college class. The auditing student listens to the lectures. He is not responsible for any of the information that he has taught. He's not required to take any tests. He's not required to do any reports. He's not required to do any homework. There's no accountability for what he is hearing. My soul, we have a whole lot of spiritual auditors. They hear it, but they do nothing with it. They do not put it into practice in their lives. They just audit church. They say, "I certainly don't want to get involved. I just want to audit out." And I guess one of the great fears that I have as pastor is that we have folks who do that here at Barrel Baptist. They come in, they audit the sermons. They might think it's very interesting. They might like the sermon. They think it's nice. And when they leave, they feel pretty religious. But when they leave, they're just gone. And there is no lasting change in their life. They sit, they listen, they have the privilege to hear, but they have no commitment to do the work. Nothing changes in their life. May I suggest to you this morning that that hearing is not an end of itself, in itself. Hearing is just the means to an end. The end is what? Obedience. Obedience. And my, listen, are many of us not just like that? We pursue the course, but we're just hearers of the word only. Hey, listen, the purpose of preaching is not that the listener might be pleased. That's not the purpose of preaching, but that the listener might be profited and edified and built up and inspired to live godly and holy lives. Now, ever so often, people will come up to me after a sermon. They will compliment my preaching. And I appreciate that. I really do. I really think a lot about that. But, and I tell you what, if a preacher tells you they don't like it, they're lying to you, okay? Everybody loves to be complimented. But listen, the best compliment that you can give to my preaching is to live out the Word of God in your life. That is the best compliment to any sermon I've ever preached. More than just your words, it is how you live your life. The Apostle John said in 3 John, he said, I have no greater joy than to hear my little children walk in the truth. There's nothing that gives me greater joy than to see our people walking in the truth of God's Word. Somebody said this, don't praise the man if you're not prepared to practice the message. A lot of truth in that, isn't it? Hey, listen, the best compliment you can give to the Word of God is to obey the Word of God. Just simply live it out. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. Listen, notice the last part of verse 22. Deceiving your own selves is what it says in the last part of verse 22. What does that mean? That is, in a response to the Word, other than faithful, unqualified obedience is self-deceptive. The word deceived literally means to reason beside or reason to alongside. And therefore, it refers to incorrect reasoning. In mathematics, the meaning is that of a miscalculation. Professing Christians who hear the Word of God without obeying it make a serious spiritual miscalculation which causes them to deceive themselves. They are self-deceived. An old Scottish expression speaks of such false Christians as sermon tasters who never tasted of the grace of God. Sermon tasters that have never tasted of the grace of God. You see, any response to the gospel that does not include obedience is self-deception. If a profession of faith in Christ does not result in a changed life that hungers and thirsts for God's Word and desires to obey that Word, that profession is only that, a mere profession. Satan, of course, loves such professions. Because they give church members that damning notion that they are saved when they are not saved. They still belong to Satan. They don't belong to God. So what a powerful exhortation that he gives here in verse 22. But I want you to notice also an analogy that he gives. An analogy. In order to explain this self-deception, James uses a simple analogy. An illustration of someone who is just a hearer only. Let's read verse 23. It says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That word glass there in verse 23 simply means a mirror. A mirror. Now, the mirrors that they had in those days are not like the mirrors we have in our days. Their mirrors were much more primitive. They were made of polished brass, polished bronze that was beaten flat, and then polished to very high gloss. And if you looked long enough in that polished brass, if you gazed long enough, you could kind of sort of figure out what you look like. But here James calls the Bible a mirror. So the mirror in verse 23 speaks of the Word of God. Now, there are many metaphors and figures of speech to describe the Bible. For instance, in Jeremiah 32, the Bible is called the hammer. It is called a lamp. It is called the bread. It is called a sword. It is called a seed. But here James calls the Bible a mirror. It reflects. And so when you go to the Bible and you look at the Bible looks back to you. And you know what, beloved? Listen, there's a difference in a mirror. You see, there are two ways you can get an image of yourself. Number one, a photograph. Number two, a mirror. A photograph can take away your imperfections, right? How many of you go to the studio, you have a photographer to come and they edit and they Photoshop everything. You look like you're just flawless. They can take out all the imperfections, but a mirror, on the other hand, it doesn't lie, does it? It doesn't lie. And that's the reason we don't like mirrors. A mirror shows ourselves. But do you see the other word as we read verse 24? As this man, he's beholding his natural face in a glass, that mirror. Then it says verse 24, "For he beholdeth himself." That indicates just a casual, superficial look. It's not a gaze, it's just a glance. He just quickly looks and then leaves, not paying attention to what his face looked like. And then the rest of verse 24 says this. The next phrase says, "And he just goes his way." He goeth his way. He goes on with what he was doing. Have you ever had that happen to you? Before I let my beard grow out a few years ago, I was going to church, getting ready to enter the church doors, and I just so happened to touch my face and I noticed, oh no, Amanda, I didn't shave. I didn't shave. I can't believe I did that. Well, what happened? What happened was I was in the process of getting ready to shave, and the phone rang or something happened, and I just forgot. Have you ever had that experience? Or maybe you've showed up at work. I've done this. With shaving cream behind your ears. Or shaving cream on your face somewhere. Because your kids started screaming before you could ever finish. Or maybe, ladies, while you're getting on your makeup, the kids begin to distract you and pretty soon you're out of the house and you meet somebody face to face and they keep looking at you strangely and they keep staring at you and then you realize that something went vertical that should have went horizontal or whatever. But we look for a moment, then we go away and we forget what we saw and just passes. You see, the point is this. If you don't do something on the spot when you see what needs to be done, you'll get busy in life and you'll forget anything that anything needs to be done at all. You've got to do it while you see it. So I think you can feel, you can kind of see where this analogy is going. Listen, I'm telling you something that every Bible preacher and the world knows this. The congregation hears a Sunday sermon, and then it's gone on Monday. They hear the Word of God on Sunday, but a sad, sad thing happens on Monday. They forget it. Maybe it lasts a little bit into the week, but it doesn't take long. And listen, you're gone from the mirror. And if you didn't fix it while you saw it, you may never fix it. Why? Because you might forget. Now, verse 25 kind of clarifies the analogy by contrasting the other person. Now, remember, the hearer only is the guy who comes to the mirror. He comes to the Word of God. It shows him his sin. It shows him his ugliness. It shows him what's wrong in his life. And because he see it, because he sees it, and because he recognizes it, he's to do something about it. But what happens? He gets distracted. He's gone. He's back into the world. He forgets what he saw. And he never gets suggested because, listen, that's the hearers only. That he talks about verse 23. Now you contrast that with verse 25. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So here's the contrast. Here's one who has looked. And this is a different word than what you see in verse number 23. It literally means to stoop over. It means to bend down, to examine something with much care and with much precision. Here's a person who really gets into it and really searches it out. And the stooping implies the humbling of oneself, looking intently with great desire and effort at the mirror of God's Word, wanting to discern what is revealed. Hey, listen, can I tell you something this morning? That your attitude, when you come to the hearing of the Word of God, may be the key to everything that I'm talking about this morning. Your attitude. Listen, do you prepare your heart when you come to the hearing of God's Word? Do you prepare your heart when you come to the Lord's Word by saying, God, I want to look in the mirror and I want to see exactly what my natural face looks like. I want to see all the blemishes. I want to see all the blotches and all the places that need to be repaired. Lord God, I come with a heart that says, show me where the problem is in order that you may change me. Is that your attitude? Or is your attitude, well, I hope Brother Wade has a very interesting sermon this morning. I hope he's not long-winded. You know, sometimes he preaches a long time, and if it's not interesting, it's a long time not to be interested in something. What's your attitude? Do you humble yourself and stoop over and look closely into the Word of God, and you're not so concerned with the stories, you're not so concerned with the theatrics around you, but what you are concerned about is how the Holy Spirit would use the Word of God as a mirror to show you where you failed. So that you on that spot, while you're still looking, can cry out to God and covenant in your own heart to make that right. That's the right spirit. Because when you get away from it, what's going to happen? You become captive to all the distractions of life. The mirror's gone. You forget what you look like and you go on living the same way. Listen, if that's the typical pattern of your life, there's good reason to believe that you've never been truly born again. But on the other hand, those of us who are Christians, yes, sometimes are like that in our response to God's Word, aren't we? But when we are most miserable till we get right. And notice something else. James gives us the key to the analogy in verse 25. But whoso looketh, that is, the one who bends over and stoops down, looks closely. And I love this phrase, into the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. What is that? What's the only perfect law ever given? The Word of God. The Word of God. What is the source of all of our liberty? It's the Word of God. The Word of God that frees us from every bondage. And when you look in it, here's the key, and continue in it. It's called the law. Why? Why does James refer to the law? Because it is the authoritative instruction from God Himself. God's Word is called the law in the Old Testament. It is called the law in the New Testament. And it is the law of the Lord, a binding behavioral code. And let me just quickly say to you, because there is grace for sin, and thankfully so, but just because there is grace for sin does not mean there is no law. Just because there is forgiveness for those who break it doesn't mean there is no law. Listen, there is a moral law that God wants us to obey. Jesus came to fulfill that law, not to set it aside, but to fulfill it. So it's a perfect law. It's complete. It's sufficient. And it utterly represents the very revelation of the mind of God. It utterly represents the revelation of His will for mankind. So therefore, it's everything we need, isn't it? Everything we need. It is flawless. It is without error. It will meet every truth. It is the law of God. As we look into that law, what happens? It liberates us, don't it? It liberates us. I love that. The law of what? The law of liberty. The law of liberty. That's kind of a paradox, isn't it? Almost sounds contradictory. How can a law be liberty? We think of a law, we think of something that is in bondage. But law is not bondage. It is the Word of God that liberates us. It is the law of freedom. It is the law of liberty. Why? Because it frees us from sin's bondage. It frees us from sin's slavery. And when you look at into the Word of God, He says this, and you continue therein. What does that mean? What does that mean that you look into the Word of God and continue therein? Well, it just means that He keeps on looking. He keeps on looking. He doesn't forget His state. He sees all that is wrong in his life and all that is unpleasing to God, and He wants to throw it off and get rid of it. That's the kind of character that marks a true believer. So this one looks, and he bends over, and he stoops down, and he sees it as a liberating law, not a bondage. So he continues there, and listen, he's not a forgetful hearer, it says. Maybe he goes home and he takes the passage that's been taught. And before he lays his head on his pillow at night, he meditates on it and just runs through that passage again. Or every day he goes over and again he keeps crying out to God, God, change my life. Change me. Can you imagine what would happen if people began to live like that? Could you imagine what would happen if the folks here at Barrel Baptist Church would begin to live like that? Not just listening on a Sunday morning, but taking the Word with you, living it out, and then meditating on it as often as you can. But boy, we think we've done our spiritual duty if we listened. But not hardly. Not hardly. See, there are those who come in here on a Sunday. They sit down on a Sunday morning and they think they've done God a favor by coming in and listening to the Word. They think that they did God some great favor, some great work by just sitting and listening. But oh, my dear friend, it must go farther than that. How much of the Word of God do you continue and continue and continue to look in until it tells you who you are and where you are, until it opens up all the sore spots of life, and then you call on God to make those things right? But the one who does that, Scripture says, is not a forgetful hearer. As verse 23 says, he is a doer of the Word. And then verse 25 puts it, he's a doer of the work. The Christian sees things as they really are. And his will is brought into union with God's will. So he loves to do what the Bible commands to be done. Now, I love the way verse 25 ends. It ends with this great statement, "This man shall be blessed in his deed." Well, I love that. You see, the blessing is not in the hearing. The blessing is in the doing. The doing. The deed and the doing are the same. The blessing is in the doing. Listen, you want a prosperous way? You want a blessed way? You want a successful way? You stick with the Word. You hear it and listen. You look into it. You meditate on it day and night, and then it begins to change your life. And you want to know something so wonderful? The hearer and the doer finds that the obligation of the law of God is a yoke. But as Jesus said, that is easy, and a burden that is light. All the blessings of the doer. I love what the psalmist said. The psalmist said, "The judgments of the Lord are right, and in keeping them, there is great reward." Luke 11:28 says, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and do it." So James was a man of the book, wasn't he? He was a man of the Scriptures. And in this whole section, he pleads with us to hear the Word. He pleads with us to receive the Word. But then he pleads with us to not only do those things, but we're to obey the Word. According to James, you are only fooling yourself if you fail to connect your listening to your living. And my prayer for each of you is that you will learn to obediently handle the Word of God and then live out what you've heard. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for instructions that we've gained from this passage of Scripture. Instructions not to be just a hearer only, but to take it much further and be a doer of the Word. Not a doer that just does it every now and then, but a doer that is his lifestyle of living out that which he has heard. And Father, thank you for complete obedience that is habitual, that is very characteristic of our new nature. And Father, make us doers. Lord, when we have heard the Word, and Father, we were so rich in the hearing, we're able to come in and hear the Word without the threat of the police coming in and without threat of the government coming in. We're very rich in the hearing, but Father, we're very poor in the carrying out of what we've heard. I pray for those who are hearers only, that as your Word says, that they're self-deceived. Father, I pray that you would speak to the person here that just has a mere profession, but their lives do not match up with the profession they claim that they have. Father, I pray that you speak to them. Remove the blindness from their heart. Father, I pray for every Christian in here that we would be more careful about any time we come into this place to hear your Word, we would not take it lightly, but we would come in with a correct attitude, a right attitude, that your Word would show us where we need to be clean. Father, I pray, Lord, you bless this
sermon. Lord, may it stick with us much longer than just a day. May it stick with us much longer than just a week. But may You stamp it upon our soul. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Preach the Word. Preach the cross. Preach redemption to the lost and